yet a very challenging week last week. And I was praying and praying and trying to find sermons, and I think I wrote two or three of them, and they just didn't feel right. And pastor gave me this Elders magazine a couple weeks ago, and the ironic thing is, I'm reading through Samuel right now in Scripture, and last night, as I was trying to prepare something and think of something, that magazine. So I picked it up, and there was some sermon stuff in it. And I started reading it, and I was going, okay, God, that's it. And so that's what you guys are going to get today is this. And it's really good. It's called Early Faith. All right. David is the title. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the day. Thank you that your Holy Spirit moves, and we need more and more of that poured out on each and every one of us. And Lord, as I read this and go through this, that your words are speaking, it's not me. For we just need you in our life, and we ask this. Yeah. And be with us, in Jesus' name, amen. It's the introduction named both reflected and are windows into character, Sarai and Sarah, Abram and Abraham, Simon and Peter, and Saul and Paul. All these had new names that reflected to their unique spiritual experience. God has many names, each of which is a window of understanding into his character. It's Eli Roi, I think that's how you pronounce it, O-R-O-I. The God who sees, Genesis 6:13. I don't know how to Quadoza Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh Salam, the Lord is peace. Judges 6:24. Reflecting on God's name, David writes, "And those who know your name put their trust in you." Psalms 9:10, and express the faith in God as Yahweh Tazbathath, Lord of hosts, in the battle with Goliath. So we're going to talk a little bit about David and David's background. David's job as a shepherd was dangerous, for Israel's teamed with wild animals, lions and bears, which he would fight off with his sling and rod. After an attack, rather than hustling the flocks to safety, David went after the lion to rescue the bloody stolen lamb, showing that no cause was lost. Showing that no cause was a lost cause for David, as nobody is a lost cause for the son of David. Whistling in the fields, he had time to reflect on God's character, reflect on the character of God and the beauty of nature and the solitude of his work. He gathered profound insight into God's character. He learned of Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, as I was reading through this, I thought about David. His mind was always on God. Yeah. He was always trying to understand God's character a little bit more. He was out there in nature. He could see the animals. He could see the sheep. He could see what was going on. And he really, really became inquisitive about God. And I think that's what we need to do, is become more inquisitive about who God is, his character. He learned of Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd. Which, you know, a shepherd, God, he leads us. He shows us what we need to do, how we need to do it, and what's going on. A name for God, and expressed his understanding in songs. Psalms 23. Can we say a little bit of it? The Lord, shepherd, shall not want. He leadeth me, lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still waters. For my soul hath righteousness, namesake. Yea, through the valley of the shadow of death, evil, thou art with me. Take me, presence of the enemies. Anoint my every last cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I will house of God forever. Amen. I love that verse.
Yes.
We've got to look to verses like that just sometimes to get through the day and keep praising God for what he does for us. As with David, so God reveals himself today to those engaged in difficult dangers of manual work, yet who are open to him. No matter their age, young people listen for God, look for God, learn for God, and he will reveal himself to you. David came from a difficult family. His mother barely appeared, and his seven older brothers were there hostile or indifferent to him. Psalm 69:8. When the family threw a feast in honor of Samuel, David was not invited. When David came to the battle, he had to face Eli's baseless accusations. As the youngest, he was forced to do the most manual task in the family, looking after the sheep. He also had a difficult boss, Saul. Just as the Spirit of God came upon David, so the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And an evil spirit tormented him. 1 Samuel 16:13-14. Imagine how David must have felt. He knew he was the anointed of God, yet he faithfully served the brooding and paranoid king whom God had abandoned. Allowing God to take care of the bigger issue, likewise, we are to faithfully serve difficult bosses. Even though we consider far from God. This then was David's background, a difficult job, a difficult family, a difficult boss. Yet, at no time, David complained, criticized, or confront. He was faithful in his job, peaceful in his family, an agent of healing for his boss, and most importantly, being open to God.
Amen.
He granted insight into God's character that prepared him for the battle ahead. Here's David's battle. Today, as then, our world is teeming with enemies, and God's timid armies long for a glimpse of his power. Oh, to see God acting to defend his name. In 1 Samuel 17:32-37, David offered to fight because he knew God was with him. David had been faithful with his earthly father's flocks. Now he was called to champion the cause of his heavenly father's flocks. Small victories bring with them promises of great victories to bring on the on greater victories. So bringing on the giant, David refused Saul's armor, and after choosing 5 smooth stones from the riverbed. I'm going to stop here for a second. I want you to stop and think about Saul's armor a little bit. Wasn't Saul imposing himself on David? He was imposing what he could do and how he could do it onto somebody else. And sometimes we need to be careful that we're not imposing things on other people. We need to give them the freedom of choice just by being their friend, showing them the kindness, the hospitality, generosity. And so, you know, as I was reading that, I thought about that. How many times have I imposed myself on people or projected how I think religion should be or Christianity or whatever? We need to be careful of that and think of other people a little more kindly. Okay, so he chose 5 smooth stones, the riverbed, drew near to Goliath. David would not trust in another man's armor, but in his trusted equipment, we may see others doing wonders for God, but we are not to copy them, hoping to find similar success. Sometimes don't we look at people and we go, oh man, he's successful. I need to go copy him. I need to mentor. Well, yeah, we can a little bit. But God has his own purpose. It might be a little twist. God never does the same miracle over and over again. There's always something a little bit different to it. So we need to look at that too. What does God have in store for me? That's great what he's doing for that person and theirs. But mine might be a little different. And so we need to allow people to have that freedom, that God can work through them, the Holy Spirit and stuff. Sometimes we want robots. And that's not good. That's what a church is made up of, is individuality, different people. God works through my wife, through Shirley, through Alvin, Barbara, Martha, and I forget your name, and
Karen.
And, you know, it's wonderful that we're all individual. And it's beautiful. And if we just celebrate each person and what God has done in their life, that's what's great. Thank God for these who dare to minister using the gifts he has given them. The Philistines approached the Israelites' champion, and so it was only a shepherd boy armed with a shepherd's rod and a slingshot. 1 Samuel 17, 42-44. Goliath cursed David and promised to feed his flesh to the birds and the air of the air and the animals of the field. Goliath represented the fragile consistency of physical strength, the pride of self-exaltation, the vanity of popular acclaim. Yet David stood before him calmly, manifesting a quiet trust in divine strength. We always got to be looking to God. And just, it's so amazing how he can lift us up and bring us through things that we never thought we could go through. Trials in our week, the work week, sickness, you know, just somebody cutting us down that might hurt us just a little bit. But we can't be offended. We have to go, well, what were they going through in life? How could I help them? We need to be their friend. And the demonstration of glorifying God by carrying out his will. Goliath advanced with sword, spear, and shield, clad in bronze armor. His spear tip was iron, the latest weaponry of the late Bronze Age. Samuel 1:17-7. But David fought in the name of Yahweh Tabaoth, a name that emphasized God's rule and sovereignty over every power in the universe. It is not the weapons in our hands that count, but the banner under which we march. A whole world is waiting, including Israel, then and today, to know our God is alive. David triumphed, and instead of Goliath feeding David to the beasts of the fields, Goliath's body was fed to the beasts of the fields. How is this possible? God acts so that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with a sword and a spear, but the battle of Lord for, sorry, sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Why and though was David so confident in victory? And I have something to add to this. As I was reading in Samuel, and it was the same chapter, believe it or not, this last week, reading through it, and I ended up in, you realize in, before this, in 1 Samuel 13, I think it goes through 23, if you'll go read it, did you realize that the Philistines, that they did not allow them to have metal? The only metal that they could have, and it talks about this in Scripture, was their sickles and their for plowing the field. And the only people that had a metal sword was Saul and Jonathan. I never realized that before. And so you look at that, you realize what David did, and that's why the Israelite army would not attack Goliath. Because they were afraid. They really didn't have the weapons. They maybe had bronze swords or spears or anything like that. And with his iron sword and spear, he'd just break it on them. Isn't that amazing how God used David with just a sling? And he had no fear, but he stood up. And the mighty power that the angel, you know, put in that and the stone that went and hit him. And doesn't that show you God's power?
Amen.
And that whole army wouldn't take on Goliath because of their fear of their weakness, that they didn't have swords or spears. I'm not saying that was the whole thing, but think about it. Could be. Good thought, I thought, as I was reading that. It was kind of interesting. Anyway, let's get back to, I'm almost done here. David's belief, according to Psalms 46, 1 through 7, Yahweh Taba is the refuge for his people. Present with them in their darkness, darkest hour. We can be still. Why? Because we know God's there. We know that he's always going to be there. That's amazing when you sit back and you really realize that and just think about it. It's so wonderful to have a God that's always there. We can always turn to him, whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning when we wake up and we're thinking about whatever, he's there listening. Because Yahweh Tabe is with us, no matter what is happening in our world. God promised David that one day he would be king, 2 Samuel 7:8. David trusted Yahweh as a covenant-keeping God. So, whatever else happened in the battle with Goliath, David would not die that day because God's promise had not yet been fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? You think about that. David knew that God wanted him to be king. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't prideful. But he knew that God made a covenant with him. And he knew that God would protect him no matter what.
Right.
And hasn't God made a covenant with each one of us?
Yes.
Yes, he has.
Yes, he has.
So we need to understand that we can't have that pride or arrogance, but we got to have the confidence that there's that covenant and God is with us no matter what. And David looked forward to Yahweh as the coming King of glory, strong and mighty, mighty in battle, the conqueror Messiah for God's covenant people. Psalms 24:7-10. Yes, David could overcome the giants of his day because he knew Yahweh, my name, and could put his trust in him. Yahweh fights for his people. Yahweh is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. Yahweh is a covenant-keeping God. Those who worship him can build their lives on his covenant promise. He is the coming King, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. I mean, it. You know, you think about that. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He's there always through everything.
Yes, he is.
Last little part of this. Today, whatever giants stalk our hearts, our homes, we can likewise put our trust in the Lord of hosts and ask him to fight and overcome those giants so that we, like David, may sing hymns of praise to the Lord, to the one who delivered us. Jesus promises that when we get to heaven, the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Revelation 2:17. Our new names will reflect our unique spiritual experience and spiritual shape, character. What a promise. That is a great promise.
Amen.
Only God knows our new name. That's right. Yes?
I know the sermon I'm talking about, but isn't it amazing that God chose some stones and a sling, take down a giant with bronze and with iron and all these things?
Yeah.
Philistines had all these other weapons. All the Israelite needed was God.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing how Israel, they just could not trust God. They were more interested in trusting other gods and themselves than God.
When they had seen all these things happen.
Yeah.
Before them, so much had happened. God is with them. But yet they trusted the other gods that they made.
I know I have an experience that happened in my life, and I said it in my testimony a long time ago when I did it here. And I'll never... sometimes things happen and I start to slide, and I have to go back to that and look at that miracle that God did for me in my life. And that's what keeps me going, because I know he's there. And it's amazing when you sit down after what happened to me, and I can tell it later someday, but when I sit down after that experience and you get the little quiet thing that says, that was your guardian angel that took your place. You remember that. And I always try to put that, because I where I am today and what, it's all about God. It's not me. And I just thank him so much. And then we have people like David that we can look to, the giants, and how he defeated it. I mean, what in the right, you know, a giant like that that had a helmet, what would ever possess him to... you know, maybe move it back just right so that the sling could hit him just perfect. You know, we got to think about things like that. God does things that people do things that helps us through our life. Yes.
Sometimes it's the pattern of little things that God does in our lives that gives us the greatest confidence, because we know he's interested in the little things.
Yeah.
In the little things. And we have to give our little things to God in order to allow him to take care of them.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's just even doing the killing the lion or the bear. You had something, Martha.
And then when it's time for her to go to school, I homeschooled for a couple of years. But anyway, it's time for her to go to school, you know, I wasn't working. My savings was just about all gone. I knew Barbara and Al were right there next door. But you know how you want to have your own things.
Yeah.
And so I remember praying, Lord, you know, I need a job. I didn't want to go do what I was doing before. You know, in the hospital, it was okay, but I didn't want to do it anymore. And I remember reading the story about Elisha. And the widow woman who came and said, they're going to take my sons. They're going to take my everything because my husband, whom they think was Obadiah, maybe her husband had left him in debt. And so asked her, what do you have in your house?
Yeah.
And I remember God, I asked God, he said to me, like, what do you have in your house? I said, Lord, all I have is an empty room. That's all. And it led me through Toya's to get licensed to be a foster home.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day to this, he has supplied everything.
Amen.
I see them all now. Supplied everything more than abundantly than I ever dreamed possible. You know, because I couldn't do anything. It was just me.
Yeah.
But after that,
you know, Martha, I remember being here the day when you were talking about that.
Oh, really?
Yes, that was a long time ago. And you know, I'll be a witness to that. God has taken care of you through it all.
Exquisitely.
He has. Yeah. And I remember you talking about it. And is she still the same one, or did you have another one?
First one,
yeah.
And then I went to the field and started working outside the home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, by herself and so forth. I even went to the school. Like, you know, I went to Three Sisters School. Took the school. I stayed there and worked there too. But the point is this: God, whatever you have, it seems insufficient.
Yeah.
May not be enough in man's eyes, but that one statement he said, Martha, what do you have in your home?
Yep. That's amazing.
And I got empty room.
Yeah. And there you go. God has provided your needs ever since. Every man. Amen. Anything else somebody has to add? Yes.
I just think about you and Juliet. I think about how you guys came together. And we want you to share your testimony with me, Sabbath.
Oh.
Both you guys. Because it was a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's have. Do we want to do the song and then closing prayer, or?
No, just close.
Okay. Yeah, let's do the song, closing song.
Well, if you want to, not
you don't have to.
Okay.
We can just pray.
Okay, let's have a prayer. Okay, just stay where you are. Dear Lord, thank you so much today. Thank you for the stories that you put in the Bible about David and about how his battles and his difficult times in his family and even with his boss, the king. Lord, he was so calm and so gentle and kind to Saul, even though Saul tried to kill him many times. We just thank you that no matter what happens, that we can look to you, and that we can just keep praising your name, whether it's death, sickness, whatever it is, Lord. We just keep praising your name. What's going on in this world, whatever it is, we just want to keep looking to you, Lord. And thank you that we can have another Sabbath day to come worship you and to be with people, and that we can just be open and praise your name. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay.